Oh my God, we are back on air for the Radio St. Pete exclusive Asian cult cinema. My name's Mal, with me as always,
Dr. Morbius,
from Parts Unknown, and this is the radio show dedicated to Asian cult cinema, much like the name might imply.
Yes, much like the name might imply.
And say directly, exactly. And
say directly,
exactly. 1,000,000% what it is.
Yeah. Exactly. We have an Asian cult cinema.
Yes, we do.
Today. One of the more famous ones.
Very famous, but also I was glad to break away from the Philippines for a while. You know, I don't know.
Just for a little bit.
We're getting kind of Philippine crazy, you know. Yeah, so
we got Kung Fu crazy for a while, Philippine crazy. Now we're going back to Japan.
I'm going to have to figure out one of those samurai sword movies, like Sword of Doom or one of those, like, those almost aren't. Well, I think they would qualify as Asian cult cinema, but we're going to have to read one of those. Those are... We're going to have to be the subtitled reedy ones, you know. There's some really crazy great movies in those, you know, in the samurai genre from the, you know, 60s and 70s. That was really hot, you know.
Did a lot of good stuff,
you know.
And there's always kung fu, and there's always, like... The Japanese horror movies are a little too...
Some of those are crazy.
You know? Yeah, we did one. I wish I could find... There's a couple of them called that they did in the 70s called Lake of Dracula and Evil of Dracula, and they were like Japanese tributes to Hammer. Yeah. They're actually pretty good, but I don't have a good copy.
Hands of the Razor. I have a whole box out of Hands of the Razor.
Those are rough, man.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, those are rough.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
But they also... What was the... I thought you ripped that one for me, that Yakuza Apocalypse or something like that?
I think so, but it was...
We never did it, did we?
No, but I think I looked at it, and it was just like, eh...
I don't think I ever even watched it.
It was too long, I think. It was like an hour and 45 minutes or 2 hours or something like that.
Yeah, whatever.
But we'll figure it out, you know.
Who knows? But that's not what we're here for today. Today we're here for...
I mean, we still could do stuff like Don the Dragon Wilson. You know, he's Asian. Yeah, there's so many others.
There's
so many that we can.
We haven't done a Cynthia Rothrock movie.
Have we ever done a Jackie Chan movie? I don't think we've done any Jackie Chans.
Could that be possible? No, we've done some of... Hell, maybe not. I think Half a Loaf of Kung Fu or...
We never did Half a Loaf of Kung Fu. We may have done
something. That's
one of
my favorite movies. I actually love Half a Loaf of Kung Fu.
We may have, but I don't remember Jackie Chan.
Technically, we could do Cannonball Run because Jackie Chan is in Cannonball Run. And we could do that for Asian cults. That's stretching it.
What was that one that you did? It was like... It was mostly a blaxploitation, but, you know, you kind of, it's like a Velvet Smooth.
Yeah, Velvet Smooth, that was right.
Is there any Asians in
pushing
this?
The boundaries of what we consider...
Well, karate, you know.
Whatever, okay, I don't care about it. Anyway. Yeah. So this one, we chose Destroy All Monsters.
From 1968.
And this was one that kind of shakes your faith in Ishiro Honda, because...
But it's beloved by a lot of the fans because it was like the big monster movie with every monster showed up and was fighting and
there was a couple I didn't know
jumping and screaming. Yeah, there's a couple.
That one snake, it was like a Chinese dragon almost, where it was had the
Manda or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I guess. I didn't know that one.
This one's famous though.
Oh yeah, no, it's a famous.
And it was supposed to be the last Honda Godzilla, but he did a couple more. He did Godzilla's Revenge.
They drove a dump truck of money up to his house and said, "Hey, can you go ahead and do some more of these?"
I mean, they got other directors to do subsequent Godzillas, but he came back again. And
yeah,
one or two.
I probably need a break. I mean,
he's 12 in a row.
At this point, these are grindhouse. Like he's just next. He's not even thinking about anything. He's just kind of, you know, this might have been written on a cocktail napkin. It just had a drawing of a whole bunch of monsters, and he's like, "Do it! I have our script." And he just pushed it into their face, and they're like, "Here's your money. Do it."
Yeah, right. You know. But I mean, it's definitely like you see the poster; it's got everybody fighting everybody.
Dude,
so it's like, oh my god,
greatest
like
thing in the history
movie.
Of ever. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, and
exactly.
It's okay.
You know,
and it's okay.
And I love Godzilla. I'm a huge Godzilla fan. This is one I've watched it, but. Boy, not a lot. I mean, I didn't hate it, but I just didn't. It wasn't one of those things where it kind of stuck out of me. Kind of like the older ones, you know, the first couple, you know, where it's almost more drama, but I don't know. There's a lot more to it, a lot more substance, you know.
Right.
And he's more.
Well, at this point, it became more of a kids' movie as opposed to like, you know, by the fourth or fifth one, they just realized, hey. mostly kids, you know.
Got that little Godzilla jumping around blowing smoke rings.
Yeah,
and you're like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You sell some cigarettes to kids in Japan, whatever, you know.
Godzuki, whatever the hell you want to call them, you know. But yeah. Remember the Godzilla TV show, the cartoon show? Yeah.
No.
You never saw that? Mm-mm. Oh, they're on DVD.
I heard it was so bad that you just didn't do it.
Mm. It was okay. It wasn't, you know. It was what it was. It was made... It was made by Americans, so they had to... It was made by some famous... The involvement by a couple of famous American comic book artists. Doug Wildey, who's involved in Johnny Quest, and Dave Stevens, who became a pretty famous comic book artist.
Really?
Dave Stevens invented the Rocketeer, you know. Both have passed away, but yeah, it's all right. There's a cheese factor to it, but it's okay. It's like the King Kong cartoon for TV, you know. That's kind of got a cheese factor too.
Oh my god.
And it was based on the Japanese too. It wasn't based on the American. So, but anyway, yes, from 1968, Destroy All Monsters,
you know. It has all the everything what you'd assume, you know. The music is the same.
Yeah, like Ifukube music. Yeah, yep.
You know, I have two of his
Godzilla themes all going around.
Solid. It's, you know, and I have a few. It's AIP. Let's put this out.
Yeah.
And I have a bunch of soundtracks, or it's almost like the collections of those Godzilla soundtracks. I have two CDs that are, you know, the up to 78 and then 78 to who cares, you know. So, and I like to listen to them, but they are they're very repetitive, you know. They kind of stuck with a mold, and it got to, like I said, kind of like Kung Fu, where it's just like, eh. Rinse, lather, repeat,
out, yeah.
Make your check, get your checks, you know.
Yeah, give the people what they want.
There's a couple clip pickup shots that were used in other movies in this one where they're like, just clip it in, you know.
Yeah.
But it still is a solid, like you said, it's beloved. It's a solid entry in the...
And everybody knows the title.
Now, what's this... The spider and the Chinese dragon looking thing?
I think the dragon's called Manda, and I forgot what the spider was called.
I never saw them before. Were those in...
they were. I can't tell you which ones they were, but they were.
Gosh. See, and that's... Now, this is part of my problem with my brain. I can't remember a lot of them that I watch. Like I watched... I'm not going to say all of them because I haven't watched every Godzilla movie. But I have a ton of them, and I watch them all. But I swear maybe, like, they just kind of... I can't remember, like, which is which. Like, they don't stand out except for... a couple of them that really stand out because you're like, oh my god, I love that, you know, Mothra, of course, and when they're fighting on the moon, which I thought was this movie.
It does have the moon.
What was that? Monster Zero.
Yeah, Monster Zero.
That's the one I thought that, because that scene where they're fighting up on the moon, and you're like, started doing that, I was like, oh, I've seen this one before.
I think it's Monster Zero. It has aliens involved in it.
I had to have seen this one. You know,
sure,
like,
I know I did,
but I can't even remember seeing it, you know. So it's kind of like one of those beer washed that one memory away, and there you go. Now okay, here's a trailer break, and we're gonna come back and we're gonna actually talk about the movie instead of talking around it.
There you go.
Can we do it? We'll see.
Hey, it's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.
You have failed me for the last time, Admiral.
You're listening to a part of the past, when hatred and prejudice crowded out love and reason. A past that has left scars so deep, they're still painful today. As this madness crept across the face of Europe, there were those who dared to fight back with love. The Hiding Place is the true story of one family who opened their home and hearts to a despised people. A family who paid the price for caring in the darkness of prison. The Hiding Place, starring Julie Harris, Eileen Hackard, and Arthur O'Connell, introducing Jeanette Clift, filmed in color by Worldwide Pictures. If caring means anything, if love matters at all, see The Hiding Place.
Our Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
You mean shenanigans?
You're
talking about shenanigans, right?
Put those away!
Until he wants to go out.
All right, this show is now being filmed before a live feline audience. Yeah, that's right. Destructo the cat has come in to wage his war on podcasting.
Yeah,
and radio broadcasting.
And soon he'll want to leave, but right now he's sitting there.
Whatever.
Busy.
On with the show, as they say. So now, not Hyder in the house, but what? We start out with this where there's in the year of 1999, we all remember this, where like
Prince does too.
Yeah, this rocket's just taken off, and as this rocket's taking off, some lady's going down in some underground thing, and then they call each other because the statistical probability is that an astronaut and a woman that's been charged with taking care of Monster Island.
Yeah, starts off with Monster Island. They're talking about how like Godzilla and all the monsters are now being controlled on Monster Land.
Yeah, yep. And that's right. I forgot about that. Where they're like, don't worry, all our favorite monsters are all here, and their Monster Land is a safe place, just like Jurassic Park was.
Yeah, and nothing
bad's gonna happen, and we're all good. It's all good, everyone.
Yeah, right.
Then a gal goes down, and she's like, oh, it's my first day on the job. I'm here to take care of the monsters and make sure everything goes perfectly. Thumbs up. Oh, here's a call from your boyfriend in space, up on the moon.
Akira Kubo. Yeah, a bunch of these.
Everything's gonna be fine. I'm in space now, so don't worry about that. And nothing's gonna go wrong with that either. And that was the point where I was like, no, hold on a second. You're telling me a girlfriend and boyfriend, one of which is in space, the other one is like in an underwater clandestine environment to control the monsters.
And nothing's gonna go wrong.
And that's not even that. That's not possible. None of that's possible.
Because then we don't have a movie.
Good point. So it is possible. So then immediately things go wrong.
Like the monsters like get out of control.
Yeah.
And then something's going on.
Well, in space,
in the moon or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, they're like, oh my god, you know, the moon base is unstable now. You're gonna have to turn your ship around, you know, otherwise it'll crash. And he's like, he never listens to anybody. This guy is like a, you know,
it's a hot shot.
Yeah, he's a hot shot. I think he does leave because they're like, oh my god, there's all these problems on Earth, and now these monsters are getting out. And you're like,
yeah, the monsters are starting to escape and starting to attack like all the cities and stuff so now we get an excuse to like see Godzilla goes to New York.
Yeah, and Godzilla's trashing New York. Mothra's, I think, trashing Paris. Yeah, Paris.
One of them does the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, or the Arch de Triomphe.
Yeah.
So then Russia gets attacked by Rodan.
Yeah, right.
Rodan's trash in Russia.
Yeah, because he'd come back because the monsters are getting out of control or whatever, you know. And then at some point, they get involved with, they find out that there's some kind of like aliens on the moon or something.
Because
an alien race of women or something.
Yeah, well, what happened was also they took over that base that was holding Monster Land together.
Yeah.
And, like, they didn't kill... I think they gassed some of them, but they let them live by putting transistors in their ears, and they took over their bodies. So there's rampant... what do they call them? Like, scientists just wandering around that are alien spies, and you're like, this is a really convoluted story.
Yeah, this is really convoluted or whatever, you know. And it becomes kind of like a shoot 'em up after a while or whatever. So, yeah, you find out that there's like aliens, a female race of aliens, and they come down to Earth, and they basically like want to they're control the monsters.
They wear matching go-go outfits, which is nice.
Yeah, those silver sequin jobs that, you see in many other movies or whatever, you know. And then, like, you know, our heroes are like, oh, okay, well, I guess we got to, like, you know, figure out what's going on or whatever, you know?
They're like, well, how are we going to stop the monsters? Insert Japanese people running, because there's not one of these made without showing people running around scurrying. And then they're like, well, let's fire missiles at Godzilla. It's like they've operate with no remembrance of what happened before. Missiles have never worked. Nothing. There's not one time in the history of ever that missiles getting shot at Godzilla did anything other than him go
him.
And then start burning stuff with his radiator radiation breath. And you know, but they just do it. They love it. They're always just like, okay, let's go
we
with the models.
Seeing the military versus the monster.
It's a failure. It's always a failure. So you're like, why?
Because the kids like it.
I guess.
The kids like the tanks and the planes, and they're really good at the miniatures. And they had some really nice miniatures in this one.
Yeah, well, they had the train that went into that one famous, train station, you know, in Japan.
Yeah.
So they must have. Some of that footage is recycled as well.
Sure, in other movies? Yeah, yep. Sure, because it was nice.
And it also had the shootout on the beach, which I know was from a movie we did. Because they're like hiding behind these orange rocks on
the beach.
Yeah,
there's like evil scientists are like on Earth now. And whenever like the good guys are trying to like do something, they're coming in and trying to break it up. And one of the, one of the guys they brought from the alien race, I think.
And he's not
talking.
Nope.
They brought him back from the moon when they've gotten to the fight up there, and he's not talking. So, like, you know, they're trying to kidnap him and all this like spy intrigue. They're trying to put too much from like other people. They got spy intrigue, sci-fi. Yep. You got the horror. You got, you know, all this stuff, and it's like, okay, you're doing a lot for one little hour and 20-minute movie or whatever. You know,
and the shootout, which is directly clipped, but they clipped it enough that you couldn't say that guy's not in this movie and that guy's not in this movie. They trimmed it down to just like a couple people running and then like hiding behind boulders and shooting, and then they cut to some other guy going, oh, look, now, you know, there they are. And there's always like one American dude haplessly wandering around in these movies.
Yeah.
Like there was that guy, I don't know if he was a general or something, but he was with the army advisors. And they were just like, what are we going to do? And he'd be like, and then he'd be like, okay.
Oh, yeah, like, the old guy. Yeah.
Just, and you're like, who is this guy? How are you invited to this party?
He's a
token American.
Or Brit or whatever the hell he was, you know?
Yeah. Well, they would have handed him tea if he was Brit. Like, they're not shy with stereotypes in Japan. So,
So they got this one doctor that was from, like, you know, the alien. And they're grilling him, and he won't talk. So then all of a sudden, one of the guys turns around because something's going on, and the doctor just jumps out the window.
That's right.
And then, like, they take him to autopsy him, and they actually captured one of the women, and they find that he had some kind of a device implanted.
Like a hearing aid, almost.
And it was basically like a mind control thing, you know? And then, like, the female doctor, like, they grab her, and all of a sudden, when she's, like, I think she's, like, fighting or trying to get away, they pull some earrings off her.
Well, it's her boyfriend.
Her boyfriend, right?
Because the guy comes down from space, and he's like, hey, that's my girlfriend. And he talks to her, and she's like, I don't know who you are. And he said, the earrings are different, so he ripped one out, and then she fainted, and blood was on her ear, and then she woke up, and she's like, oh, my God, what happened? And they're like, oh, don't worry about that, you know, whatever.
So like, you know, now she's normal, so it's like these are mind control things.
Mm-hmm.
So you find out that basically what these things they're doing to the humans, they got mind control things for whatever on the monsters. So they're controlling the monsters and making them.
But from where?
Yes, so, from where. Uh-oh. And they basically want the humans to give up so they can take over the world or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's a better thought out plan than usual. All right, we'll be right back.
Little pigs, let me come in. Not by the hair on your chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in.
He drives the most expensive car because second best never enters his mind. He'll bet $100,000 on the turn of a card because he don't believe in losing. And he's about to take on a small army with TNT. He means, tain't nothing to it. There's only one stud who could rip off New York, ruin Rome, and stay alive to run a number in Africa. That Superfly dude is back. Black. and beautiful. He's twice as cool, twice as sly, twice as deadly in Superfly TNT. Ron O'Neill is Superfly TNT, a 6-year production from Paramount Pictures, rated R, under 17, not admitted without a parent.
Stay back, I got a chainsaw.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Superfly TNT.
Not an Asian cult cinema movie.
No.
Maybe a slow robot.
Probably a slow robot. Yeah. We're not above blaxploitation.
No.
Or hicksploitation or any exploitation, really.
Or
sexploitation.
Cajunsploitation or sexploitation or...
Come one, come all.
Yeah, whatever. Or
oh, and that, by the way,
exploitation. That's
that'd
Canada.
Be awesome. That of course we also mean since you're there's some new listeners to this show. Make sure you check out some of our other stuff on Radio St. Pete. You can go to the archive section and you can listen to all of these back catalogs for Asian Cult Cinema. But you can also find a show I do called Indie Circuit. That's just music and talking stupid. And then you can also go to our flagship, bunchofdorks.com. There you're going to find all kinds of stuff. Mostly Slow Robot A-Go-Go, which is our weekly B-movie review show. It's an hour and some long, and there's some pretty crazy stuff we
there's
have.
There's a lot of episodes. A
lot of episodes. And then there's a middle one, which is...
Two Dimension Comic Book Podcast.
Yeah. I'm not on that one, but it's okay. You know.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm on it.
Dr. Morbius from Parts Unknown
is on there. Dallas and Rook.
Yep. Rook Takes Pawn.
And then a bunch of dorks.
Then the very bottom one is a defunct one, but it ran for 10 years, so there's a lot on there. So go to bunchofdorks.com. And you'll be glad you did. Now on with the show, as they say.
And remember to tip the waitress.
On with the shoe.
Yeah, so.
Now, here we are.
On with the shoe.
So now they're like, well, now we know how they're doing this, but we got to, where are these guys? I don't know. Are they on the moon? Are they in outer space? Are they underneath the Monster Island? The answer is yes. They're everywhere. Yes. They're under Monster Island, and they're at the moon base. Is how they're controlling it. So the first thing they got to do is knock out the moon base.
Yep.
So our hero says, well, I'm out. And he jumps in his jet and she's like, don't. And he says, bye. And he leaves. And so him and the team are going there and they're kind of getting beat up a little bit. There's a spaceship that's chasing them, which leads to nothing. They actually shoot it down and it crashes. And then they go into this... someone saw Star Wars. No, this is before Star Wars.
Before Star Wars.
Oh my gosh! I guess someone from Star Wars saw this one because
no doubt about that.
The jet is they're landing their rocket in this like crater.
Yeah.
And then like they get in there and this fire starts hitting it and they're like, oh my god, this fire is too intense. And then they get out in this little like model tractor looking thing and they're driving along and then they're like, oh, there they are. They're behind that glass. And the aliens are smugly going, ha, ha, ha. Then they start shooting lasers, and then they're like, uh-oh, 23 Skadoog. And they're like, they changed from laughing at them being smug to, wow, these guys are getting through in like a half a second.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So they shoot it, and then this part is kind of like, what? So they shoot this the protective barrier, and they get in there, and that stops the flames. And then they shoot the main... this thing like
an
this
egg thing
this egg thing not egg shen from escape from or not escape from egg shen from Big Trouble in Little China is
okay.
What I was thinking of
okay.
Not egg not that egg shen so they shoot this egg and the creatures these gals just turn into little like metal snakes that crawl into these little babushka looking things
they turn into little like weird
and they're still moving and they're like oh those must be them and it must be extreme cold that puts them in hibernation, but they don't die. And I'm like, how do you know any of this? How I'd be like, that's weird. There's a metal snake and a babushka right there. So then they're like, well, okay, goodbye. And then he cuts the rest of the thing and they take it to Earth, the controlling thing. And the laser blows up because they're trying to make tension, so the laser's on fire. But of course he cuts it off. And then they go to Earth and they're like, oh, well, there they are. They're under Monster Island.
Yeah.
And then...
But when they get back to Earth, the monsters are now not under the control of the aliens.
Yep, they're like, ah, look, we took down that thing, and now yay for us. The monsters are just running free, and they're like, oh, we'll have to kill the monsters. And they're like, oh no, look, the monsters are fighting for us now.
And then they find, like, they come back to Earth, and then they find another, like, control device, like, in a big ball or something.
Yeah, it's just the best. If that was on Monster Island. They shot down another, they shot down that Phoenix thing.
Yeah.
And the flames kind of, but, so they were like, oh no, the monsters are going there to fight them on their own. And because they smugly are like, haha, we're still going to beat you. We have the monsters all go to the island.
Oh, they have Ghidra.
And then Ghidra comes down. They're like, look, we're going to beat you with Ghidra.
This is our secret weapon, Ghidra. Yeah.
And you're like, and these monsters take this thing apart. It is literally like WWE.
Oh, big time. You know, except it's one against ten.
Exactly. And the monsters.
Well, three heads against.
The monsters learn to fight together and love each other.
Yes. You know? Yes, that's all we all should.
And so they're beating them up, and Godzilla's just like smugly kicking the crap out of this thing. And the little Godzilla's son like blows a smoke ring and it knocks the head off.
Monster,
you know?
Shoots his like larva, yep, or whatever. The spider shoots his spider webs at, yep, him.
So they kind of. And then the little Godzilla standing on top of him going, yeah, look how awesome I am. And then
I guess Son of Godzilla came out before this one.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh no, we don't have control of these monsters. What's going to happen? And then Godzilla's like, huh, there they are. And he goes over to where there's like another protective egg is. And this made me like, I belly laughed for this. He blasted it with his laser, and he just kicked it.
Yeah, that's
he was
right,
like,
yeah,
he was like, watch this. He just kicks, because like Godzilla was kind of the leader of this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, he was the ringleader.
It was all,
yeah,
monsters, but they were kind of following his lead, you know.
Yeah.
And he, just the way he kicked the side of that thing, and just made me laugh. I don't know why I thought it was so funny, because everyone's all scientific, and he's like, let me just kick a hole through this thing and we'll take care of it, you know.
Oh, God. So then I think there's the aliens go, haha, well, we still have another trick up our sleeves.
The Phoenix. From
the Phoenix or whatever.
From the X-Men, I guess.
Yeah, whatever. And that turns out to be like a spaceship, I think. And they just kind of like zap it and blow it up. And then,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, because that's where like they're like, oh, no, it's a Phoenix. And then it's like, haha. And then our hero jumps back into his jet and shoots it down. He's like, oh, well, that was just another thing. And then they're like, then they show a helicopter of like from MASH circling Monster Island. It's like, look,
everybody's happy,
they're again, all happy, and they're all cool now, and isn't everything great? And I said, what an odd movie.
They all lived happily ever after.
I don't think they would.
No, the next one, I think, I'm not sure if like Godzilla's Revenge came out after this one, and then Godzilla on Monster Island maybe after that.
Yeah.
I know another one was the Smog Monster.
And when did he fight Mecha Godzilla? That was
later. That was way 70s. Later.
Yeah, I don't. I've talked about this from time to time. Godzilla is very uneven in how his character is developed.
Yeah,
sometimes he's apathetic. Sometimes he's a raging monster from nature. And sometimes he's just your friend, Japan's friend, and you're like, wait.
Yeah, protector of all children.
Loves all children, just like that turtle.
Gamera.
We've done a few Gamera movies.
Yeah,
I love them. I love Godzilla's lore. I love like obviously all the stuff about him, and you know. But it's just this one's an odd one.
Yeah,
you know? And for me, especially for me, I was like kind of hard to love.
I guess if you were a kid, you'd go nuts because everybody's in it.
Everyone. Even ones I've never heard of before, you know. Yeah, that one that was just like a Brontosaurus or whatever. Or not
Gorosaurus.
Gorosaurus. And you're like, okay. Now, I'm sure your friend who knows more about these, he's probably screaming at his radio when he hears this, saying, I cannot believe how dumb these guys are. They should know all these things. I don't. I try to.
Yeah, I remember a few of them, but not all of them.
Yeah.
You know? You're kind of like too many guys. Yeah, you know, too many guys. Maybe if I had to... Maybe if I had the little toys or whatever, I could remember, but no, I don't.
No, I have them, and I don't know what these are, you know.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where I like them a lot, and, you know, and this was just kind of a bubblegum for your head.
Pretty much.
Some of them are very deep and powerful and meaningful, and some are just what they are for kids. Yeah. Just fun, have fun, you know.
The first one was kind of like an allegory. After the first one, they became more like, you know, just...
A franchise, and they just start cranking them out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but it's still worthwhile. It's worthwhile. It's good effects.
I would never say don't watch one. Even those worst ones, like that dumb kid jumping around and stuff, I'd still say watch it. I can't not say I can't say don't watch a Godzilla movie. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, these are kind of,
I don't care for the ones in the 2000s that much. I don't like watching them.
Nah, well,
I like the 60s and 70s ones. That's pretty much it for me. So.
The newer ones aren't bad. That newest one, I could have used more Godzilla, but it was very powerful. It was like, wow, the story, you know, when he defeated the monster, I think I jumped up out of my seat and was like, yeah, you know.
But of course, the best one was the American Godzilla movie, the one by, the one from the 80s or 90s or whatever, that piece of...
That was the worst thing ever. That
wasn't even Godzilla. You just should have called it something else.
I know, that was sad. And I did love Japan's reaction to that was like Godzilla 2000, which was a very crazy, over-the-top Godzilla movie, saying, no, just...
Forget that.
That didn't happen. We were kidding. Here's Godzilla.
Here's
everyone, enjoy this one. And
guy
we all
in a
did.
Suit, you know, looks like Godzilla.
Trash in the place. There was a couple scenes in this one where Godzilla was, like, trashing Tokyo and kind of blasting some laser, and it was some good shots. You know, the one he turned and did a pretty angry... radiation breath, and it was a very good, well shot, and it was like, yeah, you know, trashing some stuff. That's what I like.
But there
wasn't
enough of that.
No, not really.
No, so.
But again, I would never say don't watch one, so I'd give this one like a 7, you know, like
6.57.
About the lowest I would ever go on a Godzilla.
I expected it
six,
to be better. I always expected this to be better, and this is the third time I watched it, and I go, yeah, I keep forgetting that it wasn't as good as, like, some
still
of the
not better.
Like, still not better. I thought maybe I'd warm up to it a little more. Yeah. Still not better.
And like I said, it wasn't memorable that I remembered watching them. Now, of course, I did watch them. This one didn't
But
stand.
Still worthwhile. I yeah. mean, you know, so check it out.
Yeah. So, there you go.
I'm sure it's on Blu-ray now or something.
Yeah, they're all everything.
Except that I think the version that I was able to get has the original dubbing. The version that's available now, I think it's got the different dubbing, and I think the voices on this one might be better than some of the later dubs.
And that's, you know, I have numerous copies of numerous Godzilla movies, a lot of them over and over and over again. And that is, there is some that were like, the first ones were kind of more grindhouse or just cranked out or just not so good. But then some of them are better than the newer ones, you know, it just...
The earlier ones to me seem like the AIP ones are better voices. Later on, they became like either people from Hong Kong or Europe or Japan. They were good. I mean, they were okay.
Oh, Toho protects their property.
But the AIP ones seem to have better dubbing in them. But
well, there you have
it. And they're hard to find now, some of them.
Yeah. So
the dubbing doesn't either exist or AIP...
Said nah.
And Toho never had it. So
All right. Well, that's it for this week. Godzilla, go see it. Get the whole package. Destroy all monsters. Get all the Godzillas. My name is Mal, as always.
Dr. Morbius.
We'll see you next week with more shenanigans.